Text 77. Thomas Hardy. Tess's baby.
Be you really going to christen him, Tess?
The girl mother replied in a grave affirmative.
What's his name going to be?
She had not thought of that, but a name suggested by a phrase in the book of Genesis came into her head as she proceeded with the baptismal service, and now she pronounced it.
Sorrow, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
She sprinkled the water, and there was silence.
Say Amen, children.
The tiny voices piped in obedient response.
Amen.
Tess went on. We receive this child, and so forth.
And do sign him with the sign of the cross.
Here she dipped her hand into the basin and fervently drew an immense cross upon the baby with her forefinger, continuing with the customary sentences as to his manfully fighting against sin, the world, and the devil, and being a faithful soldier and servant unto his life's end. She duly went on with the Lord's Prayer, the children lisping it after her in a thin, gnat-like wail, till at the conclusion, raising their voices to Clark's pitch, they again piped into silence.
Amen!
Poor Sorrow's campaign against sin, the world, and the devil was doomed to be of limited brilliancy. Luckily, perhaps, for himself, considering his beginnings. In the blue of the morning, that fragile soldier and servant breathed his last, and when the other children awoke, they cried bitterly and begged Sissy to have another pretty baby. So passed away Sorrow the undesired, that intrusive creature, that bastard gift of shameless nature, who respects not the social law, a waif to whom eternal time had been a matter of days merely, who knew not that such things as years and centuries ever were, to whom the cottage interior was the universe, the week's weather climate, newborn babyhood human existence, and the instinct to suck human knowledge. Tess, who mused on the christening a good deal, wondered if it were doctrinally sufficient to secure a Christian burial for the child. Nobody could tell this but the parson of the parish, and he was a newcomer and did not know her.
I should like to ask you something, sir.
He expressed his willingness to listen, and she told the story of the baby's illness and the extemporized ordinance.
And now, sir, she added earnestly, can you tell me this? Will it be just the same for him as if you had baptized him?
Having the natural feelings of a tradesman at finding that a job he should have been called in for had been unskillfully botched by his customers among themselves, he was disposed to say no. Yet the dignity of the girl, the strange tenderness in her voice, combined to affect his nobler impulses, or rather those that he had left in him after 10 years of endeavour to graft technical belief on actual scepticism. The man and the ecclesiastic fought within him, and the victory fell to the man. My dear girl, he said, it will be just the same.
Then will you give him a Christian burial? She asked quickly.
The vicar felt himself cornered. Hearing of the baby's illness, he had conscientiously gone to the house after nightfall to perform the rite, and unaware that the refusal to admit him had come from Tess's father and not from Tess, he could not allow the plea of necessity for its irregular administration.
Ah, that's another matter, he said.
Another matter? Why?
Asked Tess, rather warmly.
Well, I would willingly do so if only we too were concerned, but I must not, for certain reasons.
Just for once, sir?
Really, I must not.
Oh, sir!
She seized his hand as she spoke. He withdrew it, shaking his head.
Then I don't like you, she burst out, and I'll never come to your church no more. Don't talk so rashly.
Perhaps it will be just the same to him if you don't. Will it be just the same? Don't for God's sake speak as saint to sinner, but as you yourself to me myself. Poor me!
How the vicar reconciled his answer with the strict notions he supposed himself to hold on these subjects, it is beyond a layman's power to tell, though not to excuse. Somewhat moved, he said in this case also, "It will be just the same." So the baby was carried in a small deal box under an ancient woman's shawl to the churchyard that night, and buried by lantern light, at the cost of a shilling and a pint of beer to the sexton, in that shabby corner of God's allotment where he lets the nettles grow, and where all unbaptized infants, notorious drunkards, suicides, and others of the conjecturally damned are laid. In spite of the untoward surroundings, however, Tess bravely made a little cross of two laths and a piece of string, and having bound it with flowers, she stuck it up at the head of the grave one evening, when she could enter the churchyard without being seen, putting at the foot also a bunch of the same flowers and a little jar of water to keep them alive. What matter was it that on the outside of the jar the eye of mere observation noted the words, "Keel Wells Marmalade"? The eye of maternal affection did not see them in its vision of higher things.